WadeFord.com hotline. Jason, shouldn't we be, and Jason Longshore, our guest right now, shouldn't Rick, even on a family vacation, have some get-it-in time?
You got to be careful with that, though. You got to balance it.
How do you balance that, Jason? If I choose to go this the John Michaels debauchery route, how do I balance this?
I don't know if you're capable of balancing it in a place
good
like
point.
Miami.
Good point, my friend. Good point. It is one of those things like everybody, you're going to be cocktailing the whole thing. I mean, I'll have a cocktail here and there. It's not like I'm going to be just pounding drinks that I'm with my kids, man. But, you know, daddy's got to have some fun too. And Jason, we were there. Charity, me, Tyrus, Jalen at the Benz on Sunday. Again, an amazing time. MLS attendance record, on and on and on. And we were in section 105. And so we were right next to the really cool like red and gold stripe that went up the entire lower bowl, and they were all freaking out right before. It just the atmosphere is amazing. You hear me rave about it all the time. And then the match happened, and those referees, Jason, I thought were fortunate to get out of there safely. The people in my section were. It was F, 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 F. It was unbelievable. Dude, Atlanta United fans are over the whistle not going our way, Jason. Are you starting to feel that there's like a frustration building with the Atlanta United fan base?
Yeah, there absolutely is. And, you know, you hope that these things do balance out. But when you get the referee organization coming out yesterday and saying, yeah, we messed up, Chris McCann, drag down in the box, it should have been a penalty, doesn't really make you feel too good about it afterwards, you know? And that is on top of just the way Seattle approached the match. Look, they came in, they've struggled to score goals. They have turned very defensive here in recent weeks. Their manager apologized to New England's manager after that match about how they had to approach it. They came in here, and on top of just being defensive, they were rather cynical about it. Lots of time wasting early on in the match. Lots of stuff, lots of histrionics. And I think it affected the match. It affected Atlanta United. They get frustrated with these types of matches and they lose their sharpness, I think. It's something Atlanta as a club has to get used to and has to deal with a little bit better to defeat these teams who come in this way, or we're going to see a steady diet of it the rest of the season.
Who was it that talked about Atlanta United and said, hey, we won something our first year, and if you don't like the style of play, you know you know where you can take it, basically, from Seattle after this match?
That was Seattle's manager once he got back to Seattle and did an interview with local media. And Brian Schmetzer has been to the last two MLS Cups. He's won one, he's lost one. He's a fixture in the Seattle community. He played for the old school North American Soccer League Sounders. He's been the assistant since they came into MLS in 2009, took over when Siggy Schmid was let go, and he led the team to an MLS title. Done a great job. He's very well respected. He's also pretty mild-mannered when it comes to it. So these comments surprised me a little bit, and it really seems like the criticisms of the style of play, not just a defensive style, Teams are going to come in and play defensively against Atlanta in their attack. I think it was the way they went about their defensive style and some of the cynicism in it with the time wasting and all that type of stuff rubbed people the wrong way, and the criticism seemed to rub Brian Schmetzer the wrong way.
Well, and it's, you know, take it, dude. I mean, you were lucky to get a draw here in Atlanta. We're obviously better than them, and they had to resort to gimmicks and tactics to even get a draw with us. And as you said, we have a guy dragged down, no PK. I mean, I can remember in the stadium on Sunday, we're like, are you freaking kidding me? And so, Jason Longshore joining Rick and John here, talking United as we do every week Wednesday at 1. We had to bump Jason to today at 1 because of SEC Media Days. And, Jason, we appreciate your flexibility. Now, you mentioned that MLS came out and admitted the mistake, kind of like the NBA's two-minute report. And you made a great point. It doesn't really make me feel any better. And when the NBA botches a call, and it doesn't happen very often, but it does, and the fan base is like, yeah, well, we still lost the game. But maybe there is a takeaway positively from this. What if MLS, like the main office, coming out and saying this. What if that trickles down to the refs actually on the field and we actually get, you know, some fair officiating as opposed to it being tilted as it is felt match after match?
This is where it's tricky with MLS because Major League Soccer is not like the NBA and other sports where referees are hired by the league. Referees are overseen by the United States Soccer Federation because they book referees not just for MLS, but for the United Soccer League, the second division, the amateur leagues, your local youth league. All the referees go through the same system and they move up and they get higher, you know, certifications to manage or and handle professional games. So it's a coordinated effort. You have an organization, the Professional Referees Organization, and Howard Webb talked to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution's Doug Robertson yesterday. Doug had a great podcast breaking down everything that Howard Webb said, and he talked about how they missed the McCann incident. And they talked about how the review process had four cameras, and they didn't have the camera that had the angle that everybody saw on the broadcast later on. They didn't get there quick enough. For me, what it shows is that the VAR process in Major League Soccer is not good enough. The VAR process in the World Cup was pretty good. You're going to have some disagreements about calls. That's sports. But in general, the VAR process was really well handled in the World Cup with four video assistant referees, lots of camera angles, centralized location. You don't have that right now, and it affects the product because Mike Petke from Real Salt Lake blew up after the match about VAR incidents. He was suspended for two matches and fined $10,000. This is not just an Atlanta thing. It has to get better around the league.
Jason, how does Atlanta United combat the way that teams have been playing against them? Basically parking the bus, making them attack from the outside. What can they do better to give themselves more scoring opportunities?
The easy answer is to score first. When you allow the first goal, it just makes it easier for the opposition to double down and get more defensive. And then if they do concede a goal, as Seattle did, well, they got a point. Okay, we get a point out of this. That's pretty good. You have to score first in these oppositions. You have to come out with a little more fire from the get-go. And, I mean, it sounds simple, but converting the opportunities that are being created. You know, Atlanta United had opportunities to score and win this match. You had the set piece with Escobar flicking it onto the back post. Really tough header for Gonzalez Pires as he's trying to fall backwards but redirect it on frame. Goes off the post. Chris McCann in front of the six. Ball gets stuck under his feet, can't beat the goalkeeper. Miguel Almiron had a ball laid off to him from Romario Williams at the edge of the six-yard box. He puts it over the crossbar. Those are chances that you have to put away. And you put those away, we're having a completely different conversation right now.
Jason Longshore of Atlanta United broadcast team here on the home of United Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I want you to talk to me about the Joseph Martinez scuffle in the box. Right there at the goal, at the doorstep of the goal, because we were in 105. It was right below us, and my boys always get really revved up when, like, a batter in baseball throws his bat, or you know, a coach starts screaming at a player. They just love it. I don't know why, but they love it. So when they saw Joseph get up into the face of the Seattle player, we were going crazy. But they did not show a replay at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. They later ran a graphic up there that said, we are not allowed to show controversial replays at the game due to MLS rules, blah, 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 blah. I hate that rule, by the way. But talk to me about that. What triggered it? What did you see from Joseph? Because I got no replay on that.
It was an interesting situation because it's a 50-50 ball. Joseph is a little late. He's not getting there. He's charging in. Goalkeeper's coming out. Two defenders there. Joseph and the goalkeeper make contact with the Seattle defender, Kim Keehee. He goes flying. Chad Marshall from the Sounders takes exception to Joseph, I don't know, continuing the play. There really wasn't anything he did wrong. And said something, shoved him, looked like he got kind of a jab into Joseph's back kidney area in the midst of that shove. And Joseph turned around and got in his face. Some people are calling it a headbutt. I didn't feel like Joseph reared his head back and headbutted him. I felt like Joseph walked in straight into Chad Marshall and they went nose to nose. Some folks have said that Joseph Martinez is at risk for a suspension, a retroactive suspension because of a headbutt. I think that would be incredibly harsh. And I would think that if that's the case, Chad Marshall for Seattle would be looking at some punishment too. We might not hear anything until tomorrow because the way the league handles these types of things, the suspension or punishment is given to the club. The club has a chance to appeal. That's all behind closed doors. We don't know about it until it's resolved. So when the MLS Disciplinary Committee issues their report for the week, could be tomorrow sometime, we'll see if any Atlanta United players are on it.
We've got Jason Longshore with us via the WadeFord.com hotline. Jason, the supporter shield standings, Atlanta United still in the lead, but only 1 point up. How important overall is that when it comes to the playoffs?
It's pretty important this year, maybe more so this year than any year I can remember. Generally, you've got one, two teams battling for the supporter shield. And ultimately, you know, that's your regular season champion. That's your top seed. If they go all the way through, they host MLS Cup. That's your way to look at it. This year, you've got seven teams that I think can be pushing for supporter shield. And in the East, it's very important because you have Atlanta United, you have New York City, you have the New York Red Bulls, who are all pushing for that top seed in the Eastern Conference. Top two seeds get a bye and miss out on the knockout round. We saw last year, even if you host the knockout round game, your season comes down to one game. You don't want that. You want to get into the semifinal round of the conference playoffs where you get a home and away. You get two matches, 180 minutes at least, to determine your fate. You don't want it to come down to one bad night in front of goal or one hot goalkeeper to end your season.
Jason, great point, man. You're making a lot of sense, and you always do when we interview you, man. Jason Longshore of Atlanta United's broadcast team with Rick and John here throwing our midday party. Warwick Dunn, by the way, going to join us in our next segment, Atlanta Falcons legend. Jason, I'm worried about this team, man. I really am. I love them. They're my guys. I'm worried about, you know, Greg Garza not being there. I'm worried about Darlington Nagbe not being there. I'm worried if we're mentally tough enough, because we talk a lot about things don't go our way and then our play starts to dissolve. That's not good enough. Like, if you're the Warriors of MLS, as I have tabbed them, the Warriors are mentally tough. They're clutch. They get it done despite adversity. And I don't feel like we're good enough in those areas. Are you with me?
Remember, though, the Warriors went through their times, too, where they had to prove that they were tough enough in the early days of that group coming together. I feel like Atlanta's kind of there right now. That's why I really do like the signing for Eric Rometty. And Rometty is now training. He will be eligible to potentially be in the 18, potentially be in the lineup on Saturday. He gives you that gritty central midfielder that I think this team could use in some of these situations, where if somebody has to deliver a tough tackle to make a point, Eric Rometty is your guy. He's done this for a small club in Argentina, Banfield, and really carried that team in a lot of ways emotionally. He was their emotional leader. I expect him to have a presence in this team pretty quickly and be an important part. I feel like this team does have to learn how to handle the pressure a bit, though. You know, you got a lot of young guys who have been together for about 18 months now, and they've got to be able to handle the adversity of teams coming in, playing defensively, but also trying to get under your skin a little bit. I hope Rometty's inclusion to the group kind of changes the personality a bit.
Jason, a year ago, DC United was a thorn in the rear end of Atlanta United. Way back in match two, Atlanta United, in a much-needed win after losing to Houston, took care of them. Do you look for more of the same coming up on Saturday?
DC's an interesting team right now. They've only played 15 matches. They have 14 home matches out of their final 19.
Wow.
Because of the opening of Audi Field. They were in this, you know, long road trip. They played a couple home games at alternative venues, but they have 14 home matches left. They have a great shot to make the playoffs because of that. They also just signed Wayne Rooney, who's a pretty big deal, superstar for Manchester United, English national team, last with Everton. He's not what he once was, but he's still a player who I think can help this young group. I don't think DC is going to come in like we saw them last year. I don't think they're going to come in and be overly defensive. I don't think they have that personality this season. I think they're going to play one holding midfielder, a line of four, and Rooney up top if he's ready to give you 90 minutes, if not Darren Maddox. And they're going to try to play. I think it could be a very entertaining game this weekend, and teams who generally want to play an open style, I think it benefits Atlanta United, but it could be a shootout.
Jason, should be a great call with you and Mike, and I will not be listening this weekend. I will be on a plane about the time you guys are kicking things off at Mercedes-Benz. So have a great call, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Thanks, guys. Looking forward to catching up with you next week.
All right. Thanks, Jason.
It's Jason Longshore.